Thanks, Chris. So good to see those kids up here. So good to see the mass of people yesterday queuing. They were just queuing most of the time, but they were happy to be there, happy to just come along, see what's going on, and I think it was just wonderful to be a part of. So again, praise to God for that. My name's Graham, I'm one of the pastors here, and I get to lead us off in this series on Isn't Jesus Brilliant? And I'm very happy about that. So let's pray and ask God to be with us and make this time really, really important for all of us here. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for just your word that tells us about you. And I pray that as we think about just these few words in this one verse this morning, that you will use it to transform our thinking, to transform our lives, to show us your glory, and most importantly, to show us your grace, and to enable us to be able to receive it, so that we are not the same ever again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this guy up on the screen is called Brilliant Kid from a UK TV comedy show that's run by a guy called Paul Whitehouse. Very funny guy. And he's called Brilliant Kid because everything's brilliant to him. And actually, in one sketch, he actually talks about Jesus. Here's what he says. Wasn't Jesus brilliant? All them tricks he done, like turning water into wine. Posh people would have loved him, wouldn't they? But the most brilliant thing about him is, was, and ever will be that he is the Son of God. Imagine that. Fantastic. You know, at school and that, what does your dad do? He's a lorry driver. What's yours do? Mine's a postman. What's your dad, Jesus? My dad is God, the supreme being. Brilliant. I mean, God is your dad. Brilliant. Well, look, there's some reasons to find Jesus brilliant. But in the next four Sundays, actually, hopefully we're going to add many, many more reasons as to why Jesus is brilliant. And not just because Brilliant Kid says so, but actually from what the Bible shows us about Jesus. Although there is something brilliant about Brilliant Kid's view, I absolutely do hope that all of us will be able to see these things and accept them and be able to do that with this sort of similar sense of wide-eyed amazement and enthusiasm and wonder. I really do hope we can do that. Our big idea for this talk today and actually this whole series is simply this. Jesus is brilliant. And today we're going to use that verse we just read, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I want to spend time briefly on three things. Firstly, redefining richness and poverty. Secondly, investigating the astonishing behavior of Jesus. And then thirdly, whether you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, this grace that we see in this verse. First point then, rich and poor redefined. This verse is all about Jesus. Jesus was rich but became poor for our sake, in order for us to become rich. Riches here are a metaphor, they're a picture. But that doesn't stop us, does it? In fact, that's the whole point. It gets us thinking straight away about money, about material wealth. When we hear rich, that's what comes into our mind, I think. Now, it's reggae icon Bob Marley who supposedly said this. Listen to this. Some people are so poor, all they have is money. Sounds like just the sort of thing someone with money might say, doesn't it? Must be nice, don't you think? But there's an unsettling truth in there, don't you think? Yeah? It's not that money is bad. Money isn't bad. And some people could certainly do with a bit more in this world. It's necessary and it's useful, and in larger quantity, it will change your circumstances. But it can and often does change you. Change me. Usually for the worse. Because it comes with a whole bunch of less obvious costs. Greed in us is easy to awaken, and life can end up, can't it, revolving around money. And underneath it, even as we pursue it, there's an anxiety that grows that we might lose it. It sort of gets into us at the deepest level. And so if all you have is money, then you're poor. But richness is so much more than money and material wealth. Relationships, memories, shared experience, achievements, failures, hope, time, growth, learning, adventure, laughter. Richness is a life with so much to be thankful for. Richness is a life to be looked forward to. Richness is so, so much more than just material wealth. It's a delight having some of my family over from the UK. They're over there. These times necessarily for the newbies, for the first timers coming over, they must include an Australian education component. What is a huntsman? What is a jack jumper? What on God's great earth is AFL? Etc. We're moving through these methodically. Now you can test them actually after the service. But last night we watched that great Aussie film, The Castle. There you go. Well, it's a great curriculum, isn't it? Now, without going too much into it, for those who haven't seen it, which shouldn't be anyone here, it's about a family, isn't it, who are not at all really rich by Aussie standards, right? But you could stay, you could still say, despite their circumstances, it's a story about the richest man in Australia. It's the heartbeat of the story. Why is that? Because it's full of love, a sense of contentment, a sense of thankfulness, a sense of warmth, appreciation of memories, of home. All of these things so much greater than money. Albert Einstein said, "Not everything that can be counted counts. And not everything that counts can be counted." And we're going to see that, I hope, as we look at Jesus. In this verse, Jesus was rich. Jesus became poor for your sake. Jesus becoming poor is how you might become rich. And it's not money and material wealth he's talking about. It's what it means that Jesus was rich that truly redefines what rich is. And therefore, it redefines what poor is too. Recently, we've been learning here in this church on our Sundays of what the Bible says about Jesus, and specifically this arrival into our world 2,000 years ago. And it's this act of taking our humanity to himself that is in view when Paul says, the Apostle Paul says of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, he became poor. Now, elsewhere in the Bible and prior to his coming, we learn through the Bible much, much more about Jesus. That before his human birth, he was both with God and was God. God the Son, eternal. Never a time when he wasn't. and the eternal Son, Jesus, was and is involved with all of the things it is said God has done and does. Jesus is God, is the implication. For instance, through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. It's talking about Jesus, creation. And then, so when we read in a place like Psalm 24, verse 1, that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who live in it, even if we were going for a definition of riches in terms of material wealth, Jesus would absolutely smash everyone else. No one else comes close. Elsewhere, we learn that everything was made by him and for him. It all belongs to him, including your material wealth, along with anyone else's, ever, belongs to Jesus, along with the entire cosmos. There's the sheer quality of his existence, his eternal dwelling in the glory of perfection, untainted by any evil or darkness or pain or suffering. You know, glory is the kind of word, isn't it, that we find hard to explain, but we know it when we see it. It's a vibe thing. That's the castle again, isn't it? And when anyone got to see a vision of God in his glory, there was one outcome every time. Put them on the floor. Put them on their face. Buckled their knees in worship. So good, so perfect, so pure, so blazing, so utterly desirable, and yet so unattainable and dangerous for people like us. But that was home for Jesus, the eternal Son. True brilliance. What about his attributes, his presence as God, omnipresent, present everywhere. His power, omnipotent, all-powerful, the power of Almighty God. His knowledge, omniscient, all-knowing. And what about the reality that in him all things hold together as he sustains all things by his powerful word? It's brilliant. Jesus is brilliant. Because in him is life itself, he is the source of all life and strength. There's no illness in him, no weakness. He's utterly invulnerable. The word all is a very good word for Jesus. All material, all wealth, all goodness, all purity, all glory, all service, all rights, all worthiness, all worship, all honor, all respect, all belong to Jesus. He has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge, and holds all things together. All. He's pretty rich. And against that, it's not hard to look poor, is it? Who can stand with that? The richest people in the world aren't even in the conversation. They might have money. They might even have some of those other things. Do you know what they also have? They have their humanity too. And that fact totally affects everything. It's actually why those other forms of richness matter more, isn't it? Our human lives deteriorate quite easily and eventually come to an end. Our dear brother Hank reminds us of this again if we needed it. Jesus redefines in himself as the eternal Son what rich is. And then he does the unthinkable. He becomes poor. Second point then, the astonishing behavior of Jesus. I just can't see this happening. The richest person in Australia has about 26 billion dollars. You know people are truly rich, don't you, when rounding their worth to the nearest round figure could actually involve tens or even hundreds of millions of dollars, just to round it up or down. Is it 26 billion or 25? There's only a 1,000 million in there. Wow. So we'll call this person Rena Jeinhart. The name's changed for illustrative purposes. She's seriously rich, right? What would you make, though, of her suddenly renouncing her riches, moving out of her luxury lifestyle, her many homes, and slumming it with the rest of us in the world of rent and mortgages and bills and actually having to pay tax? As a slow burner. Not an experiment. Not, say, for a week or two or a month or a year. Permanently. And I don't mean becoming poor through loss, as if some financial crisis has just come in and she's found everything going away. No, I mean by willing choice. And why would she do that? Why? Well, I mean, I think we're starting to think, wow, I can't even imagine it, but it certainly wouldn't be this, would it? So that I could become rich. And you, to give her riches to me. Is that going to happen? I mean, I hope it does. But it's not going to happen. It would be the craziest thing, even just that level of becoming poor, without even thinking about me getting rich. But when you look at what Jesus did do, it is astonishing. The eternal Son left his richness, all of that stuff that we just spent a bit of time thinking through and so much more, and became poor. This is what he did. He took to himself weakness, the weakness of a human body. He took to himself a human body that contained him. The eternal Son. He took to himself a body that is capable of suffering and being harmed. And that was his life. 33 years of what we all have. And then he died. He had taken to himself a body that is capable of dying, and he allowed himself to be killed. The scale is astonishing. We couldn't even imagine a Rena Jeinhart becoming poor willingly, could we, really? And certainly not to make me rich, or you. But Jesus did this in the absolute fullest sense of the word poor. And how did he do it? He did it cheerfully. And he did that for you and for me, for your sake and for mine, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. It's brilliant, isn't it? It's fantastic news. Because the richness in view isn't the Rena Jeinhart sort of richness, it is the eternal Son sort of riches. Ultimate glory and goodness and power and healing and holiness and transformation and love and hope and faith and peace and comfort and power. And can I say, invincible and eternal life with God. And that is the stuff that cannot be taken away. You can't lose that. Jesus made that possible. He did everything that was required. And the Van Balen family need to know that, and I think they do. Praise God. Hank, who was relatively rich by this world's standards, tell me, how rich is he now? Now he's only as rich as the condemned murdering rioter who died on a cross next to Jesus and to whom Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." How rich is that? Together with Jesus forever. One word for that, I reckon, don't you? What is it? Is it? Brilliant. That'll do. Amazing's good too. So as I approach the end of this talk, let me ask our third point. Do you know this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know it? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Do you know that today? This grace, Yumin talked about it. It's brilliant. Grace is this amazing thing that just describes Jesus, the eternal Son, and God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, this God who is love. It is this love to those who just don't deserve it. That's us. What we deserve is nothing good from God. That's what we deserve. And so it makes God's lavish love to us in Jesus seem totally ridiculous, scandalous. Why on earth would he do that? It's just counterintuitive to our human ways of behaving. But it is brilliant. It's also transforming. This generous giving of Jesus being mentioned at this point of the second letter of Paul to the church in Corinth is actually to motivate them to give their worldly riches graciously. Anything that can cause people to do that, especially in the Western world, especially in Australia, to willingly, no, cheerfully part with their hard-earned cash, not through being scammed, not through being manipulated, but responding to the grace we've received in Jesus. That's a powerful thing. Right? That's a powerful thing. This new building is a good example of this. So much given cheerfully to get to where we are now. Thank God. Yesterday, so much given in this building cheerfully, not now in money, but in time and effort and energy, and actually all through the process. Time, energy, effort, skills, and so on. That is evidence, I would say, of people that know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's also evidence of people that want more and more people to get to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue with all of that, shall we? Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are able to become poor in the eyes of the world so that others can become rich. And we can do that because we are so, so rich in Christ, can't we? We can be generous. The generosity overflows from us because it's overflowing through us, because it's come to us in the grace of God. A Christian missionary to South America, Jim Elliot, famously said, "He, or she indeed, is no fool who gives what they cannot keep to gain what they cannot lose." Must have been prophetic saying that, because he was killed very soon after contacting the remote tribe he wanted to share Jesus with. And years later, many of that tribe, including some of those who attacked them, were baptized. They came to know that grace. Some people are so poor, all they have is money. Is that all you have? Is that all you want? Or do you want the true riches of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that is available to you. It's available to you today. He lived, he died, he rose again. Jesus is brilliant. But don't just take my word for it. Ask others here. Look into it. Find out for yourself. And become truly rich. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your astonishing grace, for your poverty, becoming poor, entering into our world and our experience fully, giving yourself for us. You who were rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake, for us, became poor. He died as one rejected and despised. But for the joy set before you, you endured the cross, scorning its shame. And you sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. May all of our eyes here today be fixed, riveted on you, that we may count ourselves as the richest of all people. Never to be poor, for we have put our trust and our hope in you. Amen. Dave's going to continue to lead us in prayer.